All right, are you ready for the word? Yes. Father, thank you for your word. We open our hearts to you and give you permission. Lord, teach us, grow us, and mature us that when people see us, amen, that they see you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to begin a brand new series, and it's the Living Word. So let's engage this morning. This is the written word. Christ himself is the living word. But let's hold up the written word together and say this. These are our Bibles. God cannot lie. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And he says, we are dead indeed to sin. We are alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And we have been cleansed, washed, purified, and sanctified by his word. By his word. What a great series this is going to be. I'm so excited. Let's go ahead and begin it. Living word. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. This is the Amplified Bible. For the word of God is living and active. Now, you got to get that. There's your first revelation in this series. The word of God is living and active. It's alive. The word of God is alive. Not alive one day. It was here one day. Now it's dead. No, the word of God is living and it's active. Look at this. It's full of. Come on. Are we still on turkey hangover? I mean, we're talking about the word of God. We're talking about the word of God. It's living and active and full of. Hey, there we go. Full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, the completeness of a person and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature. How many of you know the word knows? The word knows. Exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the human heart. Wow. By mere definition, if the Word of God is alive, that means it's active and available in the present tense every day. If it's alive, it is always active, always available in the present tense. This is confirmed by Matthew 4:4, when Jesus said, when he was being tempted by the enemy, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He didn't say by every word that God said many years ago. By every word that proceeds, that's the ongoing present tense, from God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Why? Because it's alive. It's active. It's always available in the present tense, and it has power, as we saw. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word will never pass away. What else does that mean? It means it's always relevant. If God's word doesn't pass away or fade away, it's always relevant. It's always applicable. There's people today that want to say, well, God's just not relevant anymore. Or the Bible, you know, it's just outdated. We can't really go by that anymore. That's crazy talk. Because God is all that's relevant. Think about that. God is all that's relevant anymore. He made us, he made the world, he made the universe, he knows how all of us work. Amen. It would be foolish of us to take the one who made the universe and upholds it all by the mighty word of his power. He's upholding, how many of you know somebody's got to hold the planets up? Right. And we're going to tell him, we know better than you how things work. That would be folly. That would be dumb to the 10th power. For us, the created, to tell him, hey, we got this. Bad idea. You're outdated. We got it. Bad idea. God is all that's relevant. His word is the foundation of our faith. And we'll get into that probably next week. His word, what he says, is the foundation of our faith. Why? How can you trust? How can you have faith in an unseen God except to have faith in his word? You see how important now his word is. And it's not, I'm not even going to stop there because, I mean, you know, he didn't just give you words, you know, audibly that you can hear in your spirit, man. Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. And not one person in this room can tell me, well, God's never spoke to me. I beg to differ. He sent Jesus Christ in human form as a word from him to you, how much he loves you. Not one person can say, well, God's never talked to me. Oh, yes, he has. Historians will tell you Jesus Christ was here. So the Word of God has been made manifest to you. His Word is the foundation of our faith. His Word grounds us in truth that sets us free. His Word sanctifies us. His Word is living. It's ongoing. His Word makes us wise. His Word is final authority. His Word equips us for every good work. Let's go to Psalm 33. Bless you. Verse 3 through 9. Sing to the Lord a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. Why? For the word of the Lord is right. How many of you think it's a good idea to sing unto the Lord a new song? All right. How about play skillfully with shouts of joy? I think that's good. Now, why do we do it? Because the word of the Lord is right. All his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. How? By the word. All the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap or into bunches. He lays up the deep in storehouses. Verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Remember that one? Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So we know from the previous series, to fear the Lord is to be in awe of him. It's not to run away scared, not demonic tormenting fear. He delivered you from that kind of fear. His perfect love casts out that kind of fear. So he defines the fear of the Lord right here. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. But why? Why do we honor him? Why do we revere him? Why do we respect him so much? Verse 9, because he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it held. It stood fast. Why are we in awe of God? His word. His word. We've got to get back, church. The body of Christ has got to get back to reverencing and respecting God's word. Can I say this? Not just written, but living. Amen. The living word, Jesus Christ. One of the reasons all the earth should fear him, be in awe of him, is his word. Why? Because it's so reliable. It never returns void. He cannot lie. It always accomplishes what he sends it to do. Isaiah 55. It will accomplish it. Can you see the link now to the wisdom series about the fear of the Lord is wisdom? You can't say you love God and you fear him and you really respect him and have no respect for his word. You can't separate them. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord told me about 9 months ago at a youth service, right here at Grace Church, he said, you all have got to get back your respect for my word. And he said this, you lost it at home long before you lost it at church or at school. We lost reverence for his word in our homes before we lost it at church or school. How many of you think raising your children and letting the word of God, written and living, be part of your home and your raising, that sounds like a good idea. And can I get a witness? We're errantly moving away from that in this culture. Now, yeah, we took it out of school. That was a brilliant idea. I'm trying to decide if I should tell you this story or not. Why not? I got plenty of time, right? We're post-Thanksgiving. Well, I was visiting with some of my relatives this week over Thanksgiving. And, you know, one of them is kind of unsure where God is concerned. But what I was sharing with them is, I realize we took God out of school and all that stuff and the Bible. I said, even if we don't put that back in because it's Christian, and if you pick that one, then you got to let the Buddhist in, the Muslims, and everybody else needs to teach in your school because it's all about equality. I said, even if you don't do it in the name of Christ or Christianity, you've got to teach morals and ethics. You got to teach there's laws at work. How many of you know when you have a boss whose company explodes and he thinks he should make $5 million a year on the back of people with families who he pays $20,000 a year? There's something wrong with that picture. That's not a kingdom principle. And so what happens is the government, God bless them, thinks we should come in and take that guy's money and make him give it to those who don't have as much. Now, in principle, I understand where you're going, but you know where you lost me is when you said, I'm going to take his money. Isn't it better if in his own heart he understands? He's been taught in school from the time he's a little boy, I have responsibility to other people besides me. And this whole idea in our culture that I'm going to live for me, it's all about me, get as much as you can, breaks the laws of God. We have to teach them from a young age, you have responsibility that if you're blessed, if things are going well with you, please don't forget about those who are partnering with you in that product. Kindness is the ability to put yourself in the other person's shoes. You have a gentleman who works for you. He has four children. He's married. He's trying to raise his family. Maybe you making $5 million and him making $15,000 is a little bit askew. But it's got to come out of his heart. It's got to come out of his heart. So where else did it go from there? Oh, yeah. So then he even said, the one who struggles a little bit with God and his existence and all that, he said, you know, they did a test where they told people that they could go out and here's what they said. If you'll go and, let's say, for example, just deliver this paper to this store, we'll pay you such and such money. But they didn't monitor it. They just said, if you'll go do it, we'll pay you for it. Just come tell us you did. Okay? So they found a lot of people weren't doing it and were lying. And then they said, they tried another test with it where they introduced the Ten Commandments to the person and just said, hey, how many of these do you know? How many of you heard of? They just had them read the Ten Commandments and then said, hey, by the way, if you'll go deliver this and come back. They found way more people, they quit lying. Just by the mere presence of moral law. Of moral law. Oh, I know what else I was going to say. So we teach them from a young age, you have responsibility to think about other people than yourself. It's not get all you can get. That's Satanism. Come on, Otto. Do what's good for you, and you alone is Satanism. And if you don't believe me, Google it. Satanism is not worshiping the devil. They don't even really believe in the devil. They emulate Satan because he saw himself as the highest, best, and best thing going. It's the worship of oneself. And we wonder why the country is going down the tubes. Because this is what we're promoting. This is what our culture is full of. Now, the other responsibility we have then that we learn as children and we're taught this moral and ethic, you know, the laws that are at work, is I have responsibility that if I have a great company, that I don't dump all my waste into the creek. Right? I have a responsibility to think about other people than me and my money. Does it make sense? Now do you understand why the government's always trying to run in and say, this is not right. Bernie Sanders, right? This is not right. You can't take his money, though. Teach him. Amen. Teach him moral principle. We don't need your rules to cause us to do good. We need everybody to get born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. Come on. There you go. Sorry about all that. That was free of charge. So we need to recapture respect for God's word. This is where all that started. And we need a greater respect for what he says about himself, about you, and about others. Imagine if we honestly respected what God said about himself, about us and about how to treat other people. And if we're honest, we live way too much by what we think is culturally acceptable, politically correct, or how we feel. We need to elevate and respect God's word. And so I knew back then, 9 months ago, sitting in that youth service, I knew we were going to have a series on the word. Now, I didn't know how he's going to orchestrate it with wisdom. That was brilliant. That on the heels of what is the fear of the Lord, now we're staring right in front of us. Well, don't tell me you really honor and respect me, and don't honor and respect my word. They go hand in hand. He'll always be, and his word, reliable, constant, consistent, and most importantly, true. That's God's word. And America needs to rediscover the value of God's written word and living word. We know that the blood is a weapon. The name of Jesus is a weapon. Praying in the Spirit is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. Intercessory prayer is a weapon. But the Word of God is a weapon. The sword of the Spirit. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? A faulty belief system. A faulty belief pattern. Some of you have belief patterns that are harmful to you. You keep thinking awful things about yourself, contradicting God's word and what he says. Amen. And you'll look to your own behavior and say, see, God, this is true about me. And God's saying, you don't know what's true about you. I know what's true about you. And the whole reason you keep behaving that way is because you don't believe what I say. Amen. See, we want a yeah, but the truth. We want a yeah, but God's word with the facts. And we need to start, yeah, budding the facts with the truth. Start, yeah, budding your behavior with the truth. If you don't do that, you're going to stay in the hole of no impact. When you do a big piece of stupid, you'll never get up. You have to, yeah, but the facts with the truth. Amen. God gives us the word as a weapon, the sword of the Spirit to empower us to lose our stinking thinking. When we think thoughts that put us in bondage instead of set us free. And Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will. We have too many beliefs about ourselves, too many beliefs about God, too many beliefs about other people that enslave us instead of set us free. Jeremiah 23:28, write that down. It says, let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. Speak his word. Speak his word. Don't give up on your relatives. Speak the word. Amen. And do it as you're led by the Holy Spirit. Don't take the word as a magic wand and start, you know, manipulating everything and everybody. Be led by the Spirit and speak the word, speak truth where it applies and where he directs. But don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your spouse. Well, they'll never change. You changed. The word of God works. So speak it as directed by the Holy Spirit, because it's a weapon. The word of God is absolute truth, written and living. The word of God deserves our reverence and respect, despite the cultural mindset that says, well, there is no absolute truth. We're living in an age of philosophy, it's everywhere, of moral relativity. In other words, hey, what's moral for Robert, that may not be applicable to me. Do you know what they're telling us and our children? There's no truth. There's no plumb line. There's no master light from which we could all see as human beings. They put morality in the hands of people with feelings and sexual desires and perversion and lust and greed. And they said to the humans, you decide what's moral. That's horrible. That's a terrible idea. Please take me to the one who made me so I know the truth. Come on, give him praise in the house of God. He's got to tell me what's right. He's got to tell me what's wrong. Not you, not your feelings. Good lands. I admire and respect you as God's people. Can I get a witness on that? I admire you. I respect you as God's people. But you know, I also admire and respect you that you took time today to hear God's word. I respect you for that. In your busy schedule, there's a lot of things you could be doing. How many of you know there's a lot of excuses we all get fed from time to time on why I don't need to go, why I don't need to be there. I respect you for coming and hearing God's word. I admire you for that. It's important because I know he can speak to you individually. You can have a quiet time in your house, you and the scriptures, but can't we get some things done here corporately that we can't get done by ourselves? Come on, somebody. It's true. There's a corporate anointing. There's a corporate faith. There's a corporate energy, a faith, an empowerment that happens when we gather together. And so I respect you for that. I applaud you for taking time out and valuing God's word. And not just written and being taught by elders and so forth in this house, but how about the prophetic flow of worship? How many words did we have come forth out of worship? We have the word the whole service long. Because the word is a person and he's here and he loves you and he keeps talking to you. I know you'd have given up on you. But he doesn't give up on you. He keeps talking to you. Amen. God's word has absolute power to transform, to heal us, to deliver us, to save us. When what? When it's mixed with faith and receptivity. God's word alone. He's not going to override Robert's free will. But what happens when Robert starts mixing the word with faith and receptivity? We see transformation. We see power. We see freedom, we see deliverance, all those things. The best thing you can do is start believing God's word about you. Well, you don't understand, I have a flesh pattern, I can't beat it. Well, start believing how righteous you are. Start believing how clean and pure you are. You've been washed by the water of the word. You're clean. Amen. Guess whose power is at work when you're trying to be clean? Guess whose power is at work? Yours, and you keep failing. Whose power is at work when you just simply, like a child, dare to believe who God says you are? Now his word and his power is at work in you. Woo, isn't this powerful? This is powerful. It's amazing that the Bible begins in Genesis. This is no mistake. Chapter 1, verse 3. And God said. The Bible begins with, and God said. Verse 3, chapter 1, Genesis. Let there be light. And guess what happened? And there was light. Don't miss this revelation right here. God said, let there be light. And there was light. It happened. God speaks it, and it's so. If he speaks it, you can bank on it. It's going to happen. Has God said in his word that we're righteous? Then what are we? Has God said that you're forgiven? Then what are you? You're forgiven. You see how simple it is. If God says it, it must be so. And we can bank on it because the same God who said, let there be light and there was light, said it. God's word has creative power. God's word has transforming power. He says it, it's coming. He calls Stacy righteous. Remember, everything he does is seed form. So he seeds her with righteousness. How many of you know not every action or behavior or thought is righteous, though? No? But in her spirit, she's righteous. She's already been seeded there. It's a done deal, but God is committed to the process that he began with a seed. So when she does a big piece of stupid, which is hardly ever, I would have a good meal today. Good. When she does a big piece of stupid, he comes back to the seed. He comes back to the process. He reminds her who she really is by the Spirit and by the Word. Isn't he a good father? Amen. He's committed to the process. Do you know God's not getting new information about you every day and then changing his mind? I thought Lori was righteous, but I've got new information now. God doesn't do that. He doesn't get information. If he says it, it's the truth. And it's coming. If he says it, it's coming. And there's going to be seed, time, manifestation. Amen. The word has power to equip us, power to save us, power to cleanse us, power to settle us, power to set us free. The word is our anchor, our rock, and our stability. Whatever God says you are as his child, that's what you are. So you may as well believe it. Because you believing it doesn't make it the truth. It's already the truth. You believing it allows you to be free with the truth. Boy, we got to get over ourselves. We think we are the end all be all. If I don't believe it, it's not true. I beg to differ. You did not invent truth, and you are not determining the truth. The truth has already been determined for you. So whatever God says you are as his child, that's what you are. Deal with it. You may as well believe it. Amen. God's not recalculating his information on you, his opinions. Did you know the angels of God hearken to the word? Even the angels hearken to the word of God. They do not hearken to murmuring and complaining. They do not hearken to begging, griping. Angels are activated by the word of God. So can I say again, please don't ever say they'll never change. How about you speak the word and we'll activate angels to the process? Let's activate the angels of God. They hearken to the word, not griping, not self-pity. They don't hearken to that. They hearken to God's word. This is going to be a fun series, isn't it? Are we having fun yet? I like that. Cartwheels, yes. Psalm 119, I love this psalm. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Just, you want to walk in purity? Start believing God. Believe his word. Verse 16, I'll delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 28, my soul melts from heaviness, but guess what? Strengthen me according to your word. Verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. John 6:63, if you're taking notes, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Who do you think he's talking to? Human beings. My words are spirit and life to you. Here's Psalm 119, 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David makes an outright emphasis here on the word of God. He reverences it. He respects it. He pursues it. It keeps his way pure. He says, I'll not forget your word. I'm strengthened by your word. I'm given life by your word. How sweet is your word? You can see his respect for the word. So when you go to church, when you get into the word in private, and I'm talking about written and living the author, because please don't go to this without the author. You need proper interpretation. Amen. Yes. Amen. I'll have what he's having. John 1 does not say, in the beginning was a book. In the beginning was the word. So it's clearly not a book. Now, we thank God for the scriptures because they're God-breathed. They're Holy Ghost inspired. Amen. The Holy Spirit, through the fingers of men, you know, orchestrated the Holy Scripture. We're thankful for that. But it wasn't in the beginning was a book. Christ himself is a living word. So please don't dive into this apart from him. Amen. The law of the letter kills. The Spirit gives life to the letter. There is life in this word. There is life in it through Christ himself. So when you go to... When you come to Grace Church, maybe you're in your quiet time at home, maybe you're watching something online, the word being taught, don't be lax, don't be lazy. Engage. Engage yourself with the word of God. Go into it with faith. Go into it with respect for God's word, with a reverence for the word of God, knowing that good things are about to happen. If I'm on my way to Grace Church, good things are about to happen. If I'm getting ready to watch, let's say, Joyce Meyer online, good things are about to happen. Open your heart. Don't be lazy. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. What would people think if I'm up here teaching God's word and my phone goes off and I take a text message and I start texting back? That'd be weird, right? Or hold on, everybody, I got a phone call. 1 second. Disrespectful. Disrespectful. Disrespectful to you and to the word. Well, why does it only apply to me? We teach the priesthood of the believer in this house, do we not? Don't you dare tell me I'm different than you. Don't you dare tell me that God's holding me to something he's not holding you to. If I'm here to honor and respect his word, I'm not meddling on my phone. Now, some of you, you might be looking up scripture. I got that. Maybe you got this big business deal. I understand. Don't put the law of the letter in my mouth. Take the spirit of what I'm saying. Every time we get into the word together, let's pay attention. Let's don't be lax. Let's don't be lazy. Let's understand. You know what? Something awesome is about to happen. Because the truth is what sets me free. The knowledge of the truth. I'm getting ready to embark on new areas of freedom in my life. Somebody give God praise for that. Amen. Oh, goodness. Man. I wasn't sure how that'd go over. But thank you so much. But you know, as I was looking at this, even this morning, thinking, why does it only apply to me? They think that's absolutely rude and out of place. Pastor was preaching a sermon, he's in the Word of God, he starts answering text messages. Well, it shouldn't just apply to me. God's Word is alive and it's active, it convicts, it saves. We had a woman a couple of Sundays ago get marvelously born again. 1 Peter 1:23. Amen. She's here this morning too. 1 Peter 1:23. I went ahead and put the end of 22 on here. He says, love one another with what kind of heart? Only God can do that. You can't purify your own heart. It's the Spirit of God through your consent. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You're born again by the Word of God. We need to have respect and honor for the Word of God. And we know it's spirit. The Word of God must be spirit. That's how it's eternal. Do you see? Because Jesus said in John 3, you got to be born of the Spirit. And then he said, hey, you got born again by the Word. John 6:63, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Okay? So the Word of God is spirit. That's how we get gloriously born again. If the Word is alive, it lives and abides forever, it must be spirit, just like God the Father, who lives and abides forever. And so does his Word. I'll say it again. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words will never pass away. Amen. We had 10 people baptized a couple of Friday nights ago. The Word is alive. How do you have people saved? How do people get born again and baptized? Why is that happening? The Word is alive. It's living. It's not historical Jesus. It's not something God said 2,000 years ago. He's alive now, saving people now, delivering people now. The church has got to wake up. The Church of Jesus Christ and all this idea that we're just propagating historical text. He's alive, still saving, still delivering, still transforming by the power of his word. And not just in here, because a lot of those children, they weren't even born again in here. They were born again in Kids of Grace. Somebody give God praise. They were born again in here. They were born again in there. And then some of them got saved at home. Some of them got saved at home. How's that possible? The word of God is alive. It's living, it's active, it's powerful, and it saves, and it transforms, and it delivers, and it heals. Psalm 107:20, he sent his word, and what? Tormented them? Belittled them? Put them in bondage? No, he sent his word, and the word healed them. You must be made for the word. You must be made for the word. And delivered them from their destructions. Man, when we speak the word of God and mix faith with it, we participate with it, people are healed. Physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, in all kinds of ways. The word heals when we mix it with faith and receptivity. And if you're battling illness, the devil will give you fact, but God's word will give you truth. And truth is a higher law than the facts. Just like the law of thrust and lift is a higher law than gravity. That's how planes can fly, even though they weigh all that weight, whatever that would be. Don't know what it is. A lot. But there's a law at work that's higher than another law. That's why they can do it. In the same way, the enemy can give you fact about you, your some illness or your behavior. God's going to give you truth. Stop arguing with him and believe the truth. Our culture has been cluttered with the old saying, has God said? Does that sound familiar? Has God said? Is God really relevant anymore? You know, because morality is really relative. There's no absolute truth. We had a presidential candidate who said God's word was outdated, that his word needed to come into question. I think that's a bad idea. And I would say to that presidential candidate, please do not take my respect for God's opinion and his word as disrespect to you. I respect your belief, whatever you think is right, but I disagree with you. And it's not hate speech. It's just I elevate God's word as more important than your words. That's it. The word is alive. You know, if we really believe God was speaking, we would pay more attention. We'd reverence it. We'd respect it. Because, you know, if the president came and spoke at Grace Church or a congressman came, you know, we'd give them our attention for a few minutes before we laid hands on them. We need to value, receive, and respect the Word of God. That's what God, we need to value it, receive it, and respect it on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about in a corporate setting. You know, thank God, God's given elders and different ministry gifts into this house to teach. Thank God for that. But even in your alone time, with the written Word and the living Word, reverence it, respect it. You know, tell yourself, hey, this Word's alive, transformation's about ready to happen. And I'm open to it. Look at this. A greater reverence for God's word, written and living, will produce greater discipleship, greater relationship, and greater results in your walk with Christ. This the spirit of this right here lives in my heart. It lives in my heart. It lives in every leader in this church's heart. This is what we're praying. This is what we desire. A reverence for his word. How many of you know discipleship is on God's radar? America traded in conversion for discipleship. And even then, I think the conversion was to join churches. I'm not even sure it was be converted to Christ himself. So we've messed some things up over the last couple of 100 years. But we want to get into discipleship. We want to be disciplined followers, relationship with Christ, and greater results in our walk with Christ. And that's going to come partly through a greater reverence for his word. And let me say this, taking time to listen to him. Yeah. Listen to him. And then actually believing what he says. Letting him teach you the Bible. You know, what's fun for me is when I'm up here and he's using me to teach, it's spirit to spirit. Your spirit knows the truth when you walk in here. And that's why when you hear it, you get excited because you already know it. It lives, the mind of Christ, the word of Christ live in your spirit. So you recognize truth. Wasn't that nice of God to put the spirit of truth in you to guide you into all truth? That's how smart he is. Jeremy, you guys can come. It doesn't do us any good to sit in here service after service, attend discovery group after discovery group, Christian books and Bibles all over our bookshelves, if we don't have an authentic respect for God's word. That makes sense. I mean, I'm telling you, there's people all over Oklahoma this morning. The word of God will be taught and several of them will not engage. And we need to honor and respect the word of God as it's being taught corporately, but also in our quiet times. Because we can have our bookshelves chock full of all kinds of different translations and books, and we can go to classes, and We need an authentic respect for God's word and the power thereof. One last one, John 6:63, I mentioned it. It's the Spirit, Jesus said, that gives life. That's powerful right there. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. But my words to you are spirit and life to you. Listen to me. The word cuts towards life and health if you'll receive it. We're going to continue to preach the word in this house so it grows us, matures us, heals us, and sanctifies us, so it empowers us and equips us to deal the devil damaging blows. And we're going to do it in our homes and families as well. Can I get a witness on that? Because the word will strengthen your family. It'll strengthen your marriage. The word works when it's mixed with faith and receptivity. One last thing I want to say to you, just felt like the Lord wanted me to say it. In John 17, Jesus had said, "Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth." And he was praying for the disciples. And then John 15:3 said, "You're clean because of the word I've spoken over you." Will you close your eyes for just a moment? I know this is for somebody. The Lord asked me to say to you this morning, I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've done it. My word has the power to cleanse and sanctify you. My word has power to wash you and power to overcome that temptation the next time. God's word is what makes us clean, takes care of our wrinkles and our blemishes. So if that's you today, Father, I pray for them. I thank you that so much of this morning has been about just strengthening the church, strengthening your body. Lord, for those who may have stumbled along the way, I thank you that your word this morning cleanses them, ongoing, active cleansing and a mighty work of your Spirit in their heart. And I thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Will you give him praise this morning? Amen. Reverence the word. Respect God's word. If you need prayer, stick around. We have some wonderful people minister to you, for you. Otherwise, you are dismissed. Let's go be doers of the word.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.